Clifton High Voices.
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 Clifton High Voices!
Yeah! Yeah! Hello, everybody, and a very warm welcome to this, our first Clifton High School Voices podcast. And a bit of a baptism of fire. I'm not sure what I've let myself in for, because this first one, I am being asked questions about all sorts of things, from myself to the school, by both Mrs. Roberts and Mrs. Barnes, who are co-chairs of the school's Parents Association. And so very warm welcome. Hello, Mrs. Roberts.
Hello. Thank you for inviting us today.
No, lovely to have you here. And Mrs. Barnes. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
And for those of you who don't recognise my voice, my name is Matthew Bennett, and I am the head of school at Clifton High School. I started this September, so this is officially sort of my second or third week here, although I have spent many hours over the summer helping to prepare the school to return for this academic year.
Quite an exciting programme building of these, and we'll make sure that they're put out on our social media channels, our website and the like, so that you're able to access them and listen to them whenever you want to. But we're starting with this one, and I put myself against the wall here, and the questions are going to come thick and fast, I think. So we're going to start, and you'll hopefully find out some more things about the future for Clifton High School and some of the things that are on my mind. So I don't know who's starting, but over to you.
So we're going to start with some questions about your personal life.
Oh dear.
If that's okay.
Okay.
So firstly, how are you getting on so far with being the new head of Clifton High School?
Absolutely loving it, honestly. I can't lie when it comes to the fact that I'm exhausted. It's been two and a bit weeks in, and there's an awful lot on my mind. And that's to be expected, I think, with any headship, but particularly with being my first time headship. And also with all of the restrictions around COVID and all the things that we read in the news.
Yep.
I think that these ideas keep floating in my head, and it's a different approach to a headship. All the things that you would normally have come in and done, so you would normally have waited and looked and learnt, all of that has had to have been sped up a little bit. And so I'm starting to think about how we're going to make sure we future-proof the school. And I suppose the one thing that's always on my mind is we've been here for 140 years, and I just need to make sure that we're here for another 140 years. But everyone's made me feel so welcome. The staff, the children, the parents, yourselves included. I'm not creeping now. It's just be nice to me with the rest of the questions. But everyone's made me feel welcome. The children here are just something else. They really are. Yesterday, I sat out on the steps at the front of the school at break time, and out of nowhere, about a dozen year nine girls just came and sat on the tarmac around me and just started asking me questions, seeing how I was and finding out about me. And their confidence to do that is brilliant. And that really has made me realise this is absolutely the right place for me and where I want to be.
Well, picking up on that, that's good to hear. The next question is about how long you're planning to stay at the school.
Okay, so the answer should probably be, how long are they willing to have me? Mm-hmm. It's a good question. And it's something that they ask you at interview as well, about sort of your longevity and what your sort of career plans are. I've never seen myself as the career head. My sort of career has evolved. It's come out of sort of my thinking about education and what I want for children. And you reach a point early on in your career where you think, I'm just going to be a classroom teacher forever. I love this. I love being in front of the children. It's amazing. My subject is biology. I coached hockey for a long time. And you just think, I'll do that forever. And then I suppose you start seeing things that take place and wondering, I think we could do that differently. I think we could change that. And that's when your brain starts going into sort of more of a strategic management point of view. And then as the years roll by, you start getting bigger and bigger ideas, and you want to get involved in different things. And eventually you start thinking about, well, maybe I'll take the next steps. And the first of those being a deputy headship, obviously. And you try that. Deputy headship is not something you can sustain. A head that I worked for, who appointed me as deputy head for the first time, said that he said it's the hardest job in a school. He said deputy headship's the hardest job. He said the day-to-day work that you do is the hardest job. And he said being a head it's not easier, it's different. That you carry the can, you make the big strategic decisions, and the buck stops with you, and that's a different kind of pressure. And so that same head said to me, just as he was approaching retirement, I said to him, how do you know when it's time to go? Mm-hmm. And he said, there are two things. He said, first of all, when you've run out of ideas. And he said, the second is when you realize that the school can run without you. And if you weren't here for half a term, they would just get on with it. And I hope at the moment that's not the case. You have to ask others about that. Okay. But yeah, so my plan in terms of how long I'll stay, I don't think I would have more than two headships in me. To be honest, I don't think anyone has. I don't think it's healthy for a school to hold on to a head for, you know, 20 years. Personally, I think schools need to be refreshed. I think new ideas need to come in, new energy needs to come in. And I think, you know, we see how things go. We see what I can do for Clifton High School, how I can help bring it along with all the people on board. And I'm really excited about that. I have absolutely no plans thinking, right, by this time I want to be head here. That's just not how I work.
But we've got you for a minimum of 20.
Depends on house prices in the UK. Let's just face that.
Okay. So with that in mind and wanting to move the career to a position of head, what made you want to be head of Clifton High School?
So my first school that I worked in was a similar size to Clifton High. It wasn't all through, but it was about 600 children, and it had a real lovely family atmosphere feel to it. You knew all the children. There wasn't a single child that would walk past you after working there for a few years that you wouldn't know their name, you wouldn't know something about them, whether those be, you know, things that they were doing in the classroom or concerns that you had for them. And I really enjoyed that environment, really loved it. And I think coming back to that was a huge appeal. I think being in Bristol is a big appeal for me. I'm a born and bred Bristolian, and I love the city. I feel that I know the city pretty well. I live not far from here, so I know the local area as well. Mm-hmm. And you don't know, really, if I'm honest, about whether you want to be head of a school until you get inside the school. And it was really that first day of coming for interview, and you start talking to the children, you start meeting the staff, and you start thinking, yes, this is for me. And you go on lots of courses when you start thinking about headship, and they talk to you about how you're going to come across an interview and what to look out for. And one of the things they actually really make clear to you is that if it's not the right school for you, you need to say, and you need to say after the first day, this isn't for me, I'm ever so sorry. And they would rather you do that than carry on regardless, get the job and realize you're the wrong fit. Mm. And that can be a disaster for a school. And that's happened. But for me, all the way through, I just felt every single time, every stage of the interview, and they made me jump through a lot of hoops. But I just felt, yep, this is it. This is the one.
And were there other schools that were recruiting new heads that you were considering?
Not in Bristol. So not particularly. There were some that you look at, and you look at the job descriptions and you give it some thought. I think at a similar time, obviously, we had QEH, we had Red Maids. Mm-hmm. All the heads have changed relatively recently in Bristol. And you do look at them and you do think, and sometimes when you're applying for headship, it's like a pyramid, isn't it? The higher up the ladder you go, the fewer jobs that there are available. So you want experience, you want practice, so you do send out applications because you're hoping to get your foot in the door to at least practice those skills until the right one comes along. But I know I wanted co-ed, really, in my heart of hearts, and it's all the schools I've taught in, and I think it's the best environment for children, and the size of the school, but then that feel. So yeah,
we're happy to have you.
Thank you. I'm loving being here.
Mr. Bennett, thank you very much for your frankness and honesty so far. That's, you know, very, very interesting. To continue on the sort of personal theme, what are your plans to get to know the pupils and community, you know, yourself?
So that's the best part of the job, really. And I'm trying to be very visible. I'm trying to make sure that I'm not one of those heads that's just always in the office and staring at a screen, because that's not what headship, it's not what leadership is about. And so I've been trying to make sure breaks, lunch times, that I'm out amongst the children talking to them, that I'm trying to get round and see as many of the staff as possible as I can. I mean, it's a big site. Everyone works to a slightly different timetable, so I'm trying my best to get over to the infant and junior school. I'm also trying to meet parents at the gate at the beginning and end of days, but obviously meetings and things often get in the way. But that's the main thing. To get to know the school is to get to know the people in the school, and I'm doing my utmost to make sure that happens. I think it surprises the children a little bit. I sat myself down in the middle of the Year 11 common room the other day, and I'm not sure they were quite prepared for that. But it was a lovely opportunity to just talk openly with them all. And I need to do more of that, and I'm conscious. So I'm having these slots. Natalie, my PA, is putting in my diary walkabout so that I make sure during the day I get up and I go and see what's going on in classrooms, and I go and see what's going on with the children. So that's I think, the main way I'm doing that.
Interesting. So look, can you use your imagination?
Oh, dear.
And tell us what you think a previous pupil may say when they describe you.
Oh, previous pupil of mine.
Yes.
Okay. I hope none of them are listening. And depends how much I've paid them in advance. I think they'd say that I was approachable. I'd hope to think that they'd say that I was fair in all the things that I do. But I think being approachable, being able to communicate effectively, is really what you need. There are the fundamental skills of being a teacher, and being able to connect. And I think that's what I've enjoyed doing. I've tried to get involved in so many things in my career. I've been teaching 20 years now, and everything from coaching sport to directing plays, directing musicals, all of these things, going on school trips, they're a big part, overseas trips in particular, where you really get a sort of to know children very, very well. I think they'd say that in all those circumstances, I'm still able to be that sort of authority figure as teacher, but not without losing that element of being approachable, communicative, friendly. And I hope those I've taught biology have actually gone on and remembered some of the things I've taught. That would be nice too, yeah.
Okay, so just to change tact a little bit, I'm going to ask a few questions about the school and its future and how you see it, mm-hmm. and the role you hope to play in that. So the first one is, what is your vision for the future of the school, and what key developments are you planning?
So coming in as new head, you want to get under the skin of everything and really get a feel for the place. And it's often a sort of a year of watching. And I think we're in this situation with COVID, with going into what could be one of the deepest recessions in history and so on, of looking at how we can make sure we're protecting the future of the school whilst at the same time absolutely guaranteeing the quality education for the children that we have here. So I'm very aware that Clifton High School is very well known for its care, its pastoral nature, the way we nurture the children here. And therefore, there are elements that you've got to keep. They are the fundamental things that parents have chosen for their children that really benefit the children, and they are the non-negotiables. And then there are areas that you look at and you think that needs looking at. So for me, the priority at the moment, I need to look at the sixth form. I need to think about our Year 11 students and how they're developing and what they want to be doing going off into study A-levels. And so looking at our sixth form as a whole, I'm thinking about their privileges that they get that makes them feel like they're being treated as young adults, the responsibilities they get that come with being an adult, and how we start phasing those in more, preparation for university, and also obviously their studies. I'm thinking about the physical environment that they have, and my major project that I'm working on with the governing body is what we're going to do with number 2 Clifton Park, which parents will know that the school purchased just shy of a year ago, and that my intention is that will become the school's sixth form centre.
I'm glad you've mentioned that, actually, because I think a lot of parents are wondering what the future is for that building, so I think that's really appropriate that you mention that now.
And my plan is to be doing more of a presentation. It would have been lovely to have had parents in and do a proper thing face to face, but we will look to do something and film something and get it out once plans are starting to become more final on that, and that should hopefully be later on this term. What's interesting is it's not something that just interests our Year 11 students and their parents. It also interests those coming through into the infant, the junior school, and into Year 7, because you are all thinking about the future for your children. And to have an environment that we can cater in the best way possible from the age of 3 to 18 is what we need. However, I'm also very aware that there is an element of fatigue that can set in, and you can often find children thinking, well, I've been here since I was 3, I need a change. Well, you can build that change in that same environment. That change can come by being in a different building, being treated differently, being given different responsibilities. That's what we need to build in here.
Thank you, Mr. Bennett. That is interesting. I have a child who's gone, will have gone from 4 to 18. So, and yes, there's been changes, but to see that there will be a step mark change in sixth form is an interesting prospect for anyone coming through the school. So, now to take a slightly different tact, what do you feel is the weakest area, and what are the plans to address that in particular?
Oh, okay. You've not held back there. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any element of the school that's weak. I think it's comparative, isn't it? It's what needs developing, and trying to look at what the nature of the school is and getting to know it. It's difficult to say 2.5 weeks in for sure what that is. One of the things that's on my mind as needing to developing early on is to make sure that those in the wider community know what we do. And that's something that we've been working on as a school. And it's part of this. This is a part of that, to make sure our community knows what Clifton High is, what it stands for, what it does. And we sing from the rooftops, really, that what we're capable of doing and for children. And so that's on my mind about, you know, the outward-looking aspect of the school. Then there are other aspects of our IT provision that I need to consider. And what's best for learning, what IT for learning looks like in the 21st century, how it prepares young people going forward. So that's an area that I know needs developing. I think in my head, as well as what I've already said about the sixth form, I think those are two key things in my mind at the moment.
Okay, so can I give you a chance to tell the community out there, what do you feel is the strongest area and how are we making sure that that's spread across the school?
I think that what I've described about how the children come across is really what it's all about. And I think the strongest area of the school is the way in which these children here develop and how they have that confidence to talk to adults in a really natural, really pleasant way. And I think that's not something you get in every school. And I think it's a wonderful thing. I think it's a gift and a skill for life. I think it's one of the strongest elements here that we turn out children who are you are happy to be around and you're happy to spend time with. And that, for me, is, well, the strongest thing you could do.
Yeah.
Obviously exam results too, but we'll go down that road in a minute, I'm sure.
In terms of measures of success, what qualities and achievements would you like to see a pupil have when he or she leaves Clifton High School?
So, it is a good segue, isn't it, into thinking you can't escape the fact that good grades open doors and allow young people to do what they want to do, whatever it is that they want to do, go off to university, study whichever course it is that they want to study. And that has to always be the focus. We are a school. At the heart of it, learning is what we have to focus on, and we have to give children the skills to be able to do as well as they can. Around that, you could argue it's much more important. The job market, the world that they're entering, is just changing. You'll read lots of things online or in journals about how the jobs that they're going to be having when they leave here, which, you know, for some of them is an 11-year-old, it's 10 years away before they've even finished a degree. We don't know what that's going to look like. And the jobs that they're going to be getting don't exist at the moment. So how do you prepare children for things that you don't know exist? Well, you have to get them good grades so that they have access to what they want to be able to do. But more importantly, let's look at the soft skills. Let's think about how they think. Do they rise to the challenge? Do they have resilience? Do they communicate well? Can they stand up in front of an audience and talk with confidence without being scared, and present? And I think those things are what we're trying to make sure we achieve. And as much as I need to focus on ensuring the academic quality that we produce and children can do the best that they can do, I think we also need to think about those softer skills, because often, and I'm sure there'll be lots of parents that will appreciate this in the world of work that people work in, often the softer skills can take you a lot further and your relationships with people can go a lot further.
Thank you, Mr. Bennett. That was really interesting. I feel like I've learnt a lot about where you want to take the school and the future, what the future vision you have for the school. I think Mrs. Roberts got some questions now about COVID.
I have. I don't think we can avoid the subject, really. And obviously the COVID pandemic, as you say, has created and presented some challenges. Maybe it's presented some opportunities as well. So just a couple of questions about how the pandemic has affected the school and the community. What do you think is the true impact so far that the pandemic has had on the school, its pupils, staff, and the school as a business?
Okay, so there's sort of, I suppose, three ways that this can be broken down. If we think about the impact that it's had on the pupils, within the pupils, we can think of it in terms of their the impact that it's had on them emotionally and personally. And for many of them, lockdown was such an alien experience, not being able to see their friends, not being able to come into school. And so coming back to school, there was much talk about that sort of mental well-being aspect to COVID. What we found is that the children have bounced back. They've been very resilient, and they've been delighted to be back around their friends. And that's been really wonderful to see. But no doubt there will be some that will have not felt the same way. And we're trying to make sure that we keep close tabs on them and help them to ease back into this new environment. Academically, obviously, working from home, we put in a program that tried to support the children as best that we could, with everyone learning new ways of doing things. And we're very pleased, having had them back in the classroom now, with the progress that they did make during lockdown. We are keeping an eye on that. We have our November assessments for many of the year groups, and we're looking at where the gaps are and how we might start to fill them if they are indeed there. But that's also on our mind. So that's kind of the pupil aspect of things. For the staff, I think learning new skills was very much on the cards, particularly IT skills, and everyone had to learn extremely quickly. And that's been an interesting shift for the school. At the moment, we've redistributed iPads that we would normally have had for classroom use, which would have been very difficult because you have to wipe them down between uses and so on. What we've done is we've redistributed them amongst the staff, because we can't have meetings in person in the same way as we did before, so we have to use Microsoft Teams for those while we're in school during the day. Some lessons are live streamed home with children who are isolating or waiting tests, and that's going to just be normal now for the rest of this term at least. And so our IT provision has kind of taken a bit of a quantum leap as a result of COVID, and that's had an impact. Right. And that's made me think about the IT infrastructure a lot more. And then with the staff as well, obviously, you know, we know from what we've seen of the science of COVID, children tend to suffer far less or be asymptomatic, and older people, adults, tend to, you know, show more symptoms. And so there is that level of anxiety. But the staff have been extraordinary here, and they've really stepped up to the challenge. They've managed their classrooms. We still have some areas where we've got to look at, and we've got to reevaluate and reassess some areas of the school, and we may have to make some adjustments. But the most important thing is for us to try and make the school day feel as normal as we possibly can for the children, so that they can get back into learning. And we really don't want this to happen again. You know, we need them here in school learning, and that's our aim. Finally, financially, I suppose, for the school and going forward, so far, we've been trying to make sure we support those families that need that support. We've been making sure that we have the financial structure to be able to think ahead and what might come. And we fared it well. We did rely on the furlough scheme, as did all businesses and indeed all private schools. And I know that from my own experience prior to coming here. But we've done well, and I think that we are going to be confident going forward. And it's a time, isn't it, when you're always questioning whether to shore up the defences and put everything on hold, or think, no, we need to make sure that we're still giving the best for the children and look forward. And I'm more of the latter and less of the former.
Okay, good. Now, picking up on what you mentioned in terms of some of the changes, the IT changes, there are obvious changes around the school site. How are you ensuring that pupils don't feel worried or overwhelmed about those restrictions and changes that they're seeing or perhaps just hearing about?
So on the first day that we had all the sick form back, I talked to them about how they had to sort of lead by example. And it's the same for the staff. And people around us, the younger people around us, are very much influenced by the people they look up to. And if we manage it in a calm manner without making a huge fuss, if we make coming into school, washing your hands before you go into a building, using the alcohol gel before you go into a classroom, if we make that just seem part of what we do every day, then the children do as well. Mm. We do gentle reminders now and again to make sure that they know that this is something we need to keep going with. But I think that helps enormously. When I wrote to parents asking them, explaining to them that we were going to ask children in year 7 and above to wear masks, one of the things that went through my mind was, you know, is this a step too far? It hadn't come in as legislation in England. Scotland had looked at it and were doing it. The World Health Organization had said it was a good idea. And all that really was on my mind was, I need to put in risk controls that try to make sure we keep children here as long as we possibly can. And I didn't think it was asking a great deal, given that children that age were being asked to wear masks in shops, it wouldn't be a huge mind shift for them. They wouldn't worry about it too much because they'd been doing it. And so to just do it in corridors and stairwells and in areas where the bubbles could possibly mix seemed like a sensible option and a relatively easy one to implement. And the children, again, they've really risen to it. And it's very much, it's not just about when you wear a mask, you are protecting others, as the sort of science tells us. There is actually an element of when the children put the mask on, it's just that little reminder, we're just being cautious. Don't forget to wash your hands. Don't forget to use the gel. Don't forget to try and socially distance if you can. And it's just that little reminder. And so from what I've seen so far, we haven't had any concerns. The children have just got on with it and it's become part of what they do. And they're just happy to be here. And I'm happy to have them here as long as we possibly can.
Excellent. Thank you. And in terms of numbers, do you feel that coronavirus has affected the numbers applying to Clifton High School?
Thank you. We've actually got an online open event, obviously not being able to have parents come and visit us in their huge numbers on the school site. And that takes place on the 26th of September. And that's an open event for the senior school and the sixth form. And there'll be lots of videos to watch that we've had made about the different offerings we have in all the different subjects and our extracurricular and sporting provisions. And then we've got a whole school opening morning that's going to take place in a very similar way online. And that's on the 17th of October. So you'll be able to sign up for those if you go to our website and find out some more. And we'll be broadcasting live at those events as well. And that's something that I'm absolutely terrified about, but I'm sure it'll go fine. We've also found that the uptake for that has been far greater than the numbers that might have come in person. Now, obviously, being able to access things online is a bit easier than giving up a morning or an evening to come in person. But given that we're seeing that greater interest in what we're offering, I think I'm hopeful, I'm very optimistic that we won't see an impact in terms of numbers coming in. We want to make sure that we have a school that can offer variety, that we can offer children different opportunities to do things, that we can be competitive on a games field in the right way for our children, and ensuring that we have those numbers coming into the school will help us to do that. And, you know, there's no shying away from it. It gives us the revenue, which is enabling us to do exciting things, which we put back into the children's education. So at the moment, I'm optimistic that it's not going to have that impact. I'm wary that we're in a recession and that we need to be mindful of that. And as I said earlier, one of my things is about making sure the community know what we do so that our marketing helps people to see where we are and more people want to buy in, like all of the parents here have.
Excellent. Thank you. And just lastly, on COVID, there's daily negative press in the media about schools and how schools are responding to the pandemic. How do you think Clifton High School and you personally are responding to the negativity around schools in the media about opening and how they're controlling the virus?
A really good question, because I actually said to someone the other day that every time a negative story comes out in the press, I want to fire off a communication to parents and say, don't panic, it's okay, because it is all negative, isn't it?
It is.
And it's constant. I think there is an element of inevitability with it. I think we do need to just sit back and say, all of this sort of, all of this worry and concern and anxiety that we read in the press, there's not a great deal we can do about it right now. The testing system is very slow. You know, if a child is off school waiting a test, they may be not off for 1 or 2 days, but for 3 or 4 days. We just have to adapt and we have to get on with it. And so I'm loath to bombard everyone with communications, but I'm hoping that the children are coming home happy. And I think that in itself should set parents' minds at ease, reassured that the measures that we've got here are at the right level, that we're doing our best to keep children safe. But I've said this probably 3 or 4 times, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm hoping that comes across. But the way that the numbers are going, and I've been reading a lot of articles about this, the way that the infection rate is rising in the UK, it will probably come our way. And there have been schools in Bristol where this has already happened. We may end up with a positive case. We may end up having to send home some children in a bubble for the safety of everyone. And we have to just be ready for that and accept that that's going to happen. And if it does, we'll shift to online learning and we'll offer the timetable that we currently offer, and we'll make sure that we provide for the children and have them back here in 2 weeks when they can come. I every day go home thinking that's another day ticked off. We haven't had that happen, and I hope long may that continue, and our measures will help towards that. But it does rely on everyone keeping to those measures outside of school and being sensible outside of school as well. And so we need to, the whole community to help us keep the children here. But at the moment, I think that's where we stand with it.
Thank you. I think that was really reassuring and informative. And I thank you for your honesty. Mrs. Barnes, do you have a final question you'd like to ask? Or do you want to finish off?
I suppose there's first of all, can I just say, I think everybody listening to this, especially part of the community, are going to feel very, very reassured. Because I think it's been really, you know, quite humbling the way how frank you've been and honest. So that's
agreed.
So no worries. I don't think anyone's going to think you're going to lie to them. Is there anything more you would like to say in this podcast of Clifton High Voices to all the current and potential pupils out there in the school and wider community?
It's something that's it's on my mind when you start thinking about what culture you want to create, what kind of atmosphere you want in a school. And I do feel that the way that Clifton High has sort of evolved, that a lot of my work is already done, you know, from the way I've described the children here. But I think if moving forward, there are things that I really want them to, and the whole community to really take on board. And it's 4 words that I've been sort of practicing in my head. And all new heads will do this. They'll think what they want the school's aims, the ethos to be. And at the moment, the 4 words in my head are curiosity is the first. I want all of the children here to be curious, to be thinking about the world around them, wanting to know more, wanting to learn, and unashamedly, and not being embarrassed to find their passions and want to know more about it. So curiosity is one thing. empathy is the second one. I think that is a very powerful word. Having a community of children who understand other people's points of view and listen to them and respect them and appreciate other people for who they are and the achievements that they make, even if those achievements might be less than the achievements they make themselves, still celebrating that success. So that's really important to me, empathy. The third one is one that I'm toying with, and it's an interesting one. It's actually the word love. And it's a brave one to take, because I think the way that people see the word love has changed an awful lot, and particularly young people. But I think the word love is the right word to use, because we can show that for one another in all sorts of ways. It's about caring for one another. It's about looking out for one another across the year groups, across the phases of the school, within the staff as well. And that's a very important one for me. And finally, all of that, the curiosity, the empathy, the love, it has to go somewhere, because that's what we're about. We're about taking people on a journey. And so my final word is direction. Knowing what we want to do, knowing where children want to go, knowing the staff, knowing where they want their careers to go, parents working with us to help direct their children off to the right things that they're going to be passionate about and enjoy. So it's those really: curiosity, empathy, love, direction. And I think if you can build a school around you based on just those things, I think everyone here will be really happy, and they'll do fantastic things. Fantastic things, and that's kind of what I want.
Great, thank you. So what direction is the Clifton High Voices podcast taking next?
So we've given a lot of thought to the topics that will come up this term and trying to tie them in with what's going to be important for the children at Clifton High, things that the parents will need to know. So for example, our next one is going to be about UCAS and preparing for university and what university will offer. We're then going to follow that up in October, looking at something that's been at the forefront of everything that's been going on in the world. And Bristol has been a real epicenter for this. And that's looking at Black History Month, and in particular, Black Lives Matter, and all the things around that. We have a fantastic member of our sixth form who's leading on a group to focus on that for the school. And she'll be a part of that podcast when we create it. We're also looking at International Men's Day. There is one. It's in November. And looking at issues that affect young boys, men, everything from mental health and well-being to physical health and well-being. And then in March next year, we'll be doing International Women's Day as well, of course, and all the issues that still surround equality and gender issues. Eco matters are a really big thing for Clifton High. As you know, we've just been awarded for the third time our Eco Schools Award, and I met with the Eco Committee, and there's a huge body of children at school who really feel passionately about this, so we're going to bring that to the fore as well. And finally, of course, we've got Christmas coming, and so we're going to be debating Christmas. There's a fireplace in my office, so I'm quite looking forward to making use of that over Christmas with the youngest children, and we'll set some lovely things up for them with that. But we're going to be looking at the Christmas values and what do they mean today. So, yeah, a really exciting programme. I hope this has been useful.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Good stuff.
Really enjoyed it.
And thank you very much, everyone, for listening. I hope that you tune in to one of our future podcasts, and we look forward to speaking to you all again soon.